I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. Henry Winkler. I could say a million different things, but really, all I need to say is Henry Winkler. He's a TV icon. The jacket he wore as Fonzie is sitting in the Smithsonian. He's a successful producer, written several books, and has managed to stay away from being typecast. He's now recurring on the hit USA show Royal Pains. His character, Eddie Lawson, is the father of Hank, Mark Feuerstein, and Evan, Paulo Costanzo, and he loves playing the character. I got a chance to talk to him on a conference call, and he's a really, really great guy. He talks about his character, working on Royal Pains, what's up with the rest of development, and a lot more. This site takes a lot of work, so I really appreciate it when you support our advertisers. And now, here's Henry.
How did you initially get involved with working on Royal Pains?
If I'm not mistaken, this is exactly how it happened. The producer, Andrew, was sitting at dinner, and next to him was my dentist and his wife. They overheard them talking that they're looking for the father for Royal Pains. My dentist's wife was a fan. She said, oh, you know who it should be? Henry Winkler. A little while later, I had breakfast with Michael and Andrew, who run the show brilliantly, I might add. And they asked me if I would join the cast. And I embarrassed myself in the restaurant.
Sounds like a good idea, though. Got the part.
You know what? My wife and I watched every episode. We were appointment television viewers of the show before I ever got the call to see if I was interested.
So you were a fan then, huh?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I kept bringing up details about the show I probably embarrassed myself and overwhelmed the producers, but, I kept saying, wow, that car, you know, it gets its air conditioning from the sun. It's a solar car. That's amazing.
What do you find the most challenging about bringing your character of Eddie to life on screen?
Wow, that's a good question. I don't know if the challenge is... All right, if I had to pick something, the challenge is to make sure that I am toe-to-toe with Mark and Paolo and Jill and Reshma, because they are really good. They are the real deal, and I want to carry my weight.
It was just announced a few weeks ago that you were awarded the Order of the British Empire. So
amazing, isn't that amazing?
How's that about and how it made you feel?
All right. I got a letter that said you must keep this a secret. If the Queen decides to give you an award, would you accept it? I said, can I sing it? Yes, I would. I would be okay with that. And then 6 weeks later, I get a letter saying the Queen of England has graciously agreed to confer on Henry Winkler the Order of the British Empire for the work that I do in England, also with children who learn differently. My books, Hank Zipser, The World's Greatest Underachiever, that I co-write with Lynn Oliver, are also popular in the UK, and I go over there to tour for the books. And I've spoken to, 100,000 students over there also. And so my work with children who learn differently is what got me to this wonderful honor. The Queen!
There's such great chemistry between you and Hank, and of course...
Paolo?
Paolo, yes, Paolo. And
I know
when
you mean.
You're interacting with them, it's like
yeah, but
a
what
true
you
father
see,
figure.
Honestly, what you see is what you get. You cannot lie. The camera does not lie. And we had, so far, the most wonderful time together. And we don't talk about it a lot. We you know, you do it once for the crew. You go through a scene then for the camera placement. You go through the scene for... for where you're going to be in the room, how you're going to move together. You go and you put your makeup on, you go, you put your costume on, you come back, and then you shoot it two or three times, and out of that come these unbelievably wonderful scenes. I honestly believe that some of the best work I've done on television are the scenes that I have done with Mark. You know, they are so emotional and so layered, but also it's great writing. You know, everybody says that when I meet them on the plane or in an airport or someplace in America, people talk to me about Royal Pains, and they always talk about how much they enjoy everybody talking to each other. Makes me happy.
As a fan of the show and also a star of the show, why do you think people keep tuning in to watch it?
You know what? I think because of what you said. I think that they, first of all, I imagine in the middle of the winter, there's this beautiful blue sky show that just takes you away to a place you want to be. Number two, I think because it is well written. Because after everything is said and done, no matter how good the actors are, if it's not on the page, there's a famous expression, if it's not on the page, it's not on the stage. If it's not written well, then we actors, it's hard to memorize, it's hard to make real, it's hard to get going, you know? So I think that combined all together made me a fan.
How do you envision a different Eddie R. next season, or will Eddie not be different?
Do you know what? I don't know that. I thought about that, and I don't try to second-guess the writers because they are so precise.
Mm-hmm.
They are there all the time. The writer of the episode, now the writer's room is in California. The set is on Long Island, or in Brooklyn.
Right.
And the writer who writes the episode is flown out so that they can be there on the set, so that if you turn to them and you say, oh my gosh, I need to say something about this, or I can't say that, but how about this? They will rewrite on the spot.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, Andrew and Michael are very clear, and I think that's another reason that the show is so... is so successful, because you have to have a point of view if you're going to stick.
Mm-hmm.
And those boys do.
What would you like to change about your character? If you could?
I'd like to be in more episodes. Thank you very much.
Yes.
I'll be here all week. Try the VIP. No, if I had to change, I would like to be in all episodes.
Well, we would love that too.
Thank you. I'm starting a write-in campaign. I just started Twitter, and I'm going to start a Twitter campaign.
What is your Twitter ID so I can friend you, follow you?
H. Winkler for Real.
Okay.
H. Winkler for Real. And, you know, and I try to write funny things. You know, my friends Rob Corddry or Rob Hubel, they write funny, funny things every day. This morning, I wrote... It's hard for some of us to say no when we should.
What is your secret to aging well?
Wow, man, I don't know. I don't know. I would have to say genes. It's one of the better things I got from my parents.
So you just got lucky.
Yeah. They didn't give me encouragement. They gave me good genes.
Good deal, though, right?
You know what? I'm thrilled to death. At least... At least I don't yet need a walker.
What do you like most about Eddie, and what do you like least?
I'll tell you exactly what I like least first. It is so difficult to look my son in the eye, to look Mark in the eye, when he says, you left when Mom was sick, and we were 9 and 11, and I take no responsibility for that. That is the most difficult, those are the most difficult moments to play. Because it is, first of all, so against my grain, and second of all, I particularly don't like the character at that moment. And what I like about doing him is his zest for life. And he truly now has come to the point, I believe, unless I'm proven wrong, and I will find out in subsequent scripts, but he's come to the point where he really appreciates his son.
Wow, yeah, he does.
That's very hurtful when I do that, when I look in Paolo Costanzo's eyes, because Paolo is right there with you at the moment. He's right in the moment with you when you are, and he takes it so personally.
He looks like a wounded puppy.
He does, and it strikes right into my heart when I look in his eye. I'm not kidding. No one has ever asked me that question. That's my answer.
Is it fun to play sort of flawed characters after being best known for a character who is sort of known for being so cool and perfect?
But you know what is interesting is that I went to college and studied drama. I went to drama school and got a master's degree. So I really wanted to be prepared. I really love my job. You know, I am very filled with gratitude that I get to do my job. The Fonz was as far away from me as you could possibly be. You know, I'm playing this tough Italian. I'm a short Jew. He rode a motorcycle, and I had trouble with a two-wheeler. So that's my job, is to create these people and make them come so to life that I'm having fun and you're having fun watching. So I thoroughly enjoy, and I thoroughly enjoy Eddie, and I'll repeat it again, because there is this room of writers in Los Angeles, and they are young, and then there are veteran writers in that room who could, and each one of these people could run their own show. So when I say it's well written, these people are great at what they do.
Now, Christine Ebersol has also been a very underrated actress. What's she like to work with?
I'll tell you what she's like. She is a life force unto herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, in my car, I listened to Sirius Radio, and I listened to Satellite, and I listened to Broadway, you know, musicals.
Mm-hmm.
And she just yesterday came in my car singing from Grey Gardens, which I believe she won a Tony for.
Mm-hmm.
And it just lit. It was like the sun shot into my car. You know, she is just fantastic. Did you see her on the Kennedy Center Awards singing?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, she's just brilliant.
As an actor, from your first experience on a set and compare it to your Royal Pains experience, how much has changed and what elements are still the same?
You know what is interesting? I'll tell you what has changed. The size of the camera, the size of the lights. Aside from that, acting is acting is acting. The same process that I did in 1974 on Happy Days is the process that we do on Royal Pains in 2011. And that is absolutely the truth. Nothing changes because the doing of it, the art of it, the tradition of it is exactly the same. What has changed is on the set of Happy Days, which was stage 19 on Paramount Lot, the same stage that Lucy used when she did I Love Lucy, we had a camera that was so gigantic, it took three people to move the dolly. And now the camera is tiny compared. And most of it is tape, which looks like film. You know, when I did the movie Click with Adam Sandler, it was the first time that they used the Genesis, which was the tape camera designed to make movies. Now, today, they can shoot movies on your home, you know, camera that you take photographs of the family with through Canon, I think.
I was wondering if you could tell us how you got involved in writing books and what advice would you give a young person who wants to be a writer?
Oh, that's a good question. I got involved, somebody said to me there was a lull in my acting career. Who knew there would be a lull in your acting career? And he said to me, why don't you write books for kids about your learning challenges? And I didn't immediately pick up on it because I literally thought, I have nothing to say. I can't write a book. I'm stupid. I was told I was stupid. I was lazy. 2 years later, he said the same thing, and this time I said, okay, and I met Lynn. He introduced me to Lynn Oliver. And since 2003, we've been writing together. And how we write is I go to her office every day. It usually takes about 2.5 months to write a novel. There are 133 pages long. And I walk around her office, and she sits at the computer, and we literally argue over every word. We literally write it together. And what I would say to young people is this. There is more than one way to get to where you want to go. There's always somebody who can help you do what you don't know how to do. And just sit in front of your computer, if you can use one, and write 5 minutes a day. Just write whatever comes to your mind. And pretty soon, you'd be shocked at what you have.
Of all the roles that you've taken on in movies and film and et cetera, what's your favorite?
Wow. All right, and this is the absolute truth. I don't have a favorite. Every time I think of a project, I always think, oh, this is great. No, this one is great. It's like my children. I don't have a favorite. And I'll tell you what, I live with gratitude. I've wanted to do this since I was 7. I'm actually still doing it. I earn a living doing this. I am so grateful, I don't even know how to explain it to you.
That's beautiful.
And that is the truth.
Yeah.
If I were to give you two words, I would give you tenacity, which helps you get where you want to go, and gratitude, which allows you not to be angry when you get there.
Is that the advice you would give to someone wanting to go into acting?
Well, I would also give them the advice of preparation. You know, there's so many young people, they think that, I don't know what has gotten into the culture, but they think that, oh, I can do that. I'm just going to do that. And I think if you're going to do something, you want to be there for longer than a minute. You have to think of yourself as a forest ranger. You plant a tree, and you want to tend that tree for the next 75 years.
My question was taken by the last person, what's your advice to actors? But just when you approach a scene...
You know what? Yeah. My advice to actors is think of yourself as pasta and throw yourself against the wall until it sticks.
When you approach a scene, be it you know, a comedy or drama, what are the main things that you do first?
The first thing I do is I have to read it very slowly because reading is still difficult for me. But what I look for is, what do I want? And from there, I then build. Because when you know what you want, you can get it. And you have to figure out how to get it with somebody else's words on that page.
Now that your career has evolved into playing the father figure, in what ways can you now relate to Tom Bosley and his job as an actor back then on Happy Days?
Well, he was a great dad, wasn't he? I mean, he was a smart guy. I saw him on Broadway before I ever got to California. I saw him in Fiorello. I think he won the Tony. You know, he was... What I've always said is that he was our father figure for 10 years on television, and he was our father figure in real life for 30.
You talked about tenacity and gratitude.
Yes.
What kept you going throughout the years to not allow yourself to be stereotyped by the character of the film?
Will. You know, there's a phrase that was first said in 1946, my whole life, when I give a speech, you know, in public speaking, my speech is based on it. It's, if you will it, it is not a dream. And I now know that is the truth. the cosmic truth, it just works, in, at least in the Western Hemisphere. It is the truth.
You, as a person, you're an actor, producer, director, author. You're kind of a philanthropist. You know, you don't, I don't think you need to work. What gets you out of bed in the morning?
Well, all of that gets me out of bed. I do need to work because when you have a daughter with a credit card, trust me, you need to work. I love my job. I love my job.
I am a huge fan of your work on Arrested Development.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite shows. I still think it's a shame it was canceled. I know the movie is still in pre-production and it has been...
Well, let me just say this. All of the actors have said yes. We are completely dependent on Mitch Hurwitz. It is when he just did a series with Will Arnett.
Will Arnett, yep.
Now, maybe that is the nature of that series has changed. Maybe he will now turn his attention to the movie.
So you are planning on reprising your role as Barry Zuckerkorn?
I still have my chiffon underwear in the drawer waiting.
Wonderful. I'm glad to know that was yours.
It was. Is it? Now, talk about understanding a character. I don't know who the hell he is. All I do is say the words.
Can you talk about working on MacGyver?
Sure. The greatest day of my producing life was when Richard Dean Anderson walked in the door. We had met every handsome, wonderful, star, leading man. And then all of a sudden Richard Dean came in and he couldn't read the script without his glasses. And at that moment, when he was searching in his bag for his glasses, he got the part. Because he was flawed. He was not perfect. He was, and then turned out to be, an unbelievable leader on the set for 7 years. The most difficult thing I've ever done as a producer, trying to find sources for MacGyverism.
Do you have a dream project or dream role that you would like to either work on or play?
Wow, that is a good question. I would love to play a mute. That I would have to communicate everything only through my body, without words. So I've thought about that for a very long time. When I was younger, I wanted to be Zorro.
Really?
But I've given that up. So my dream, really, is to continue working and to be finished with acting before acting is finished with me.
See, how, if you have a brief subject of how you got started into acting.
You mean as a professional?
Yeah.
Like, the Yale Repertory Theater. I made $172 a week as an actor at the Yale Repertory Theater after graduating from the drama school. And from there, it just grew. But that was my very first professional job, June 30th, 1970, in East Hampton, Long Island, at the John Drew Theater. The Yale Repertory Theater did a summer of story theater, and that was my very first job. And I had a Pontiac Le Mans with a bad oil tray or something like that. I wanted to beat it into submission, this car. Brand new, got it, didn't drive, hated it.
Thanks, Henry, and thank you for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, columns, and resources. Thanks for supporting our advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.